good evening. In the news tonight, the Central Park carriage horse deal is dead. New York City's mayor delivers his State of the City this evening. New York City advocates and council members protest Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Progressive groups call out media bias against Palestinians. The fight for 15 continues in Albany. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange gets good news from a UN panel. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, February 4th, 2016. The New York City Council has pulled the reins on a plan by Mayor Bill de Blasio to overhaul Central Park's popular carriage horse rides. They were to vote on the measure tomorrow until the Teamsters Union pulled out of the deal. Sal Albanese is a former longtime New York City Council member. He says it's become a total fiasco.
Bottom line is, de Blasio pandered to animal rights activists and said he was going to end this practice on day one when he knew he couldn't. So he solicited huge campaign contributions from those folks. And they damaged the political action pact that they funded, damaged Christine Quinn very badly and helped de Blasio win the mayoral thing. So we have the situation now where de Blasio, is going from crisis to crisis with this particular issue. And today the Teamsters backed out of the deal because it would cost, lots of jobs. And it's become a mess. It also demonstrates that we have a corrupt campaign finance system, because it shows how people running for office get themselves in these positions and simply wind up trying to reward contributors when public policy demands the opposite. I mean, the solution that de Blasio came up, the latest solution, would have caused havoc in the park. It would cost taxpayers $25 million to build stables when there are other needs out there, like reducing class size, addressing homelessness. And it's all simply being done in a cynical way to reward contributors, and now it's all falling apart.
Meanwhile, de Blasio and Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito say the city will work towards a new path on the issue. Tonight, New York City's mayor delivers his State of the City address. Ben Max with Gotham Gazette reports.
When he gets into new announcements, de Blasio is going to show a bit of a departure from previous years, and he's going to focus more about quality of life issues like clean streets, as well as larger community and economic development plans. Recently, de Blasio announced CleanYC, a holistic effort to keep communities clean across the five boroughs. This includes new efforts at trash pickup and graffiti cleaning. De Blasio will also discuss new ways that New Yorkers and visitors are going to be able to pay for parking on city streets with the development of a mobile pay app. But then he'll go much bigger. De Blasio is going to announce plans for a streetcar running along the Brooklyn-Queens waterfront. This is a $2.5 billion project that is expected to break ground in 2019 and be operational a few years later, even after de Blasio is out of office if he serves two terms. This is the type of big infrastructure project that de Blasio is actually not known for, but he's stepping into here as he shifts a bit of his focus in year three. The mayor is also expected to announce plans to develop Governor's Island into more mixed-use facility, including more restaurants and retail space. He's also expected to announce a plan for the revitalization of downtown Far Rockaway. This, again, is an example of how de Blasio is focusing in on neighborhood concerns, economic development, community development. He'll also talk about expanded access to internet at NYCHA facilities, as well as on the streets through the refurbishing of old payphones into Wi-Fi hubs. And then there are the mayor's housing proposals. De Blasio is in the midst of his effort to either build or preserve 200,000 units of affordable housing over 10 years. As de Blasio speaks tonight from the Bronx, the city council is just starting to closely consider two rezoning proposals that the City Planning Commission passed and is sending to city council hearings next week. You can expect at least a wink and a nod toward the city council in de Blasio's speech as he looks to influence council members who now have at least some control over those zoning plans. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
Who's home?
Our homes!
Who's home?
Our homes!
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, whose business is to purchase secondary mortgages, have announced its largest sale yet, 10,000 distressed mortgages throughout the nation worth $3 billion, and activists are responding with protests. In New York City, New York Communities for Change and council members stormed Fannie Mae's lobby in Midtown Manhattan. Renata Pumarol is with New York Communities for Change.
The reason why we went there is because Fannie and Freddie announced their biggest sale yet of distressed mortgages. They have been selling hundreds of thousands of distressed mortgages to Wall Street speculators, to hedge funds, to private equity like Lone Star, who are quickly moving to foreclose on homeowners. So what we are demanding is that they stop selling these mortgages to Wall Street speculators and that they instead sell it to nonprofits who are willing to work with homeowners, to help them stay at their homes.
Community leaders worry the federal agencies are poised to hand these homes over to Wall Street for bargain basement prices instead of nonprofits who would focus on keeping homeowners in their homes and expanding affordable housing. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
Free edition of the Times.
Free New York Times.
Free supplement.
On Tuesday, Jewish Voices for Peace and Jews Say No fanned out across the city with a parody edition of the New York Times. They distributed 10,000 copies, which focused on Israel and Palestine. Thousands of online versions made their way across the internet. In it was a mock editorial rethinking Israel-Palestine. It promised balanced coverage by the New York Times in the future and an admission that they have been biased against Palestinians. Like others, I was hoping this was true, but it was a parody. Beth Miller with New York City's chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace says what's most bothersome is the lack of context coming out of reporting in the New York Times, but also in other mainstream media.
Well, a lot of mainstream media, and I think it's important to note we're talking about the New York Times here, but really it's a symbol of the way that media covers this issue broadly in the United States. And so it was this lack of context, and context is so important when we talk about issues like this. And there was a lack of discussion of the fact that there's a brutal military occupation that has daily violence in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and Gaza. There wasn't a discussion of settlement violence. There wasn't a discussion of settlement expansion, of the kind of anti-democratic laws that target Palestinian citizens. There was just a lack of historical context and of kind of root causes of the issues. And we felt that it really kind of created a biased way that the paper was reporting what was happening.
The parody also pointed out the disparity in language used to describe the two groups.
Palestinians who conduct violence are significantly more likely to be labeled terrorists. Kind of violent terms are more often associated with Palestinians when there's violence, whereas those same labels are not really affiliated with Israeli forces or even Israeli settlers when violence is conducted for the most part. And that language really does have a very powerful effect on readers, especially when readers aren't also provided with the needed historical context behind what's being reported.
Activists wanted to spark a conversation about media bias and information which wasn't mentioned in mainstream media, and they've been successful. For more, you can go to Jewish Voice for Peace on Facebook, JVPNY, and on Twitter, at JVPLiveNYC. In other news, a UN panel determined that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's nearly 3.5-year stay in the Ecuadorian embassy in London amounts to unlawful detention. Eileen Alfandari reports.
Assange is wanted in Sweden for questioning over allegations of a sex crime, which he denies. British Prime Minister David Cameron's spokesman said any decision by a UN panel that is examining Assange's appeal would not be legally binding, and that an arrest warrant for Assange would be put into effect if he left the embassy. Assange and his supporters fear if he were returned to Sweden, that country would extradite him to the U.S. U.S. officials would be likely to put him on trial over WikiLeaks' publication of classified military and diplomatic documents and videos. They include one documenting a 2007 attack by U.S. Apache helicopters that killed a dozen people in Baghdad, including two Reuters news staff. For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari.
In other news, the United Nations has suspended the first peace talks on Syria in 2 years. This as the war rages unabated on the ground and as government forces severed a major rebel supply route in Aleppo, Syria's biggest city. UN Special Envoy for Syria, Stefan de Mistura, says with no ceasefire, no end to aerial bombardment or crippling sieges in sight, he won't continue with talks for the sake of talks.
Syrian people will see, and they expect me and expect all of us to produce something while we are talking. Since I have not seen that, I have to be honest and say with myself, it's time now to have a pause, only a pause, and give a time for this to happen.
Meanwhile, more than 70 world leaders met in London today to raise support for Syrian refugees. But Human Rights Watch says money won't help Syrians who are being pushed back or driven to destitution by harsh policies. Bill Frelich, director at Human Rights Watch, says this conference needs to set a new agenda on Syrian refugees, making respecting their fundamental rights the top priority. The UN estimates that more than 250,000 people have been killed in the Syrian crisis, which is entering its sixth year. And finally, the fight continues in New York State over the $15 minimum wage.
To ask to give us the $15, it's time that we earn $15 an hour.
I know we can do it.
Low-wage workers from around New York State gathered in Albany yesterday to fight for $15. They gave lawmakers a reality check. 2 weeks' pay, and they make less than $200. The workers gathered for a budget hearing on workforce development issues, but the workers said raising the wage to $15 an hour would do more to help workers than any state program. Business groups oppose Cuomo's proposal to raise the minimum wage. They say it will force them to raise prices or reduce positions. The Assembly's Democratic majority supports the increase, but the Republican-led Senate isn't convinced. Senate leader John Flanagan said this week that the state would have to find ways to help businesses absorb the higher labor costs. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, February 4th, 2016. The news was produced with Pacifica Radio's Eileen Alfandari, Gotham Gazette's Ben Max, UN Radio, Reggie Johnson in WBAI's Brooklyn studio, as well as activists from New York Communities for Change and Jewish Voices for Peace. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York. Thanks for listening.